are. But in the lore of the sky, three stars represent the three wise men on their journey to Bethlehem. The three stars aren't the brightest ones in the sky, but they're very conspicuous. They make up the belt of the hunter Orion, one of the most familiar constellations in the sky. You can easily find Orion by looking southward on a winter evening. The belt of Orion is what makes this constellation so noticeable. It's made up of three stars in a short, straight row. If you look in the south this evening and pick out any noticeable pattern of stars, the pattern you pick will probably be Orion. Once you find Orion's belt, again, that's three stars in an obvious row, notice the two very brilliant stars nearby. The bright red star north of the belt is Betelgeuse, often said to represent the right shoulder of Orion. But older books on sky lore sometimes call Betelgeuse a ruby pin that fastens Orion's lion skin to his shoulder. The bright star south of Orion's belt is Rigel, the hunter's left foot. In older sky lore, Rigel is sometimes called a buckle in Orion's shoe. When you gaze at the constellation Orion, you'll notice many other bright stars nearby. When we look at this region of the heavens, we're looking away from the center of the galaxy, toward the spiral arm of the galaxy, which is nearest our sun. No one knows if the sun is in this particular spiral arm, or perhaps between it and a more inward arm of the galaxy. In either case, we call this arm of the galaxy the Orion Arm. Our program is Stardate. Our writer and producer is Deborah Bird. Stardate and Stardate Magazine are produced by the McDonald Observatory at the University of Texas. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
And Joel, I hate to break it to you, but we've been taking a poll on that new music, and we don't like it at all. We demand that you go back to the old theme, the old traditional Stardate theme. This is a friendly reminder, however. If you fail to heed our advice, we might be forced to take it up with your superiors. And yes, Joel, you do have superiors. All right, enough said about that. Good evening. Welcome to Brain Damage. This is the makeup show for last week, which failed to get off the ground. Actually got off the ground and came right back down and crashed and burned into flames. But we're not going to talk about that. We're talking about the future. And part of the future is what's going on overseas. And who better than... Who shall it be this week? Well, it's going to be a bunch of people this week, actually, including a special surprise, a couple of special surprises. But this first one comes to you through the friendly Dutch country of Holland, and they're more than happy to bring you these particular broadcasts, and we'll be learning all about Eastern European radio stations, new Eastern European radio stations, and the Soviet Union. So stay with us. We'll be taking phone calls a little later on and having all kinds of fun on this pre-Christmas show, this pre-Christmas edition of Brain Damage here on WUSB Stony Brook. Where the tape is on backwards. How about that? Isn't that amazing? I thought just because they were Dutch, maybe... Oh, well... Fortunately, we have a backup. We have a backup plan here. Actually, maybe it is right. No, it's supposed to be speaking English. That's definitely not English. If you play it backwards, I guess it's Dutch. But... No, that's not going to do our listeners any good. So what we have on the other other deck up there, while we fix this one, we have something from... Where's it from? Sweden. That's it, Sweden. Thank God for those Swedes coming in to rescue us. Let's hope this one isn't backwards. Yeah, that sounds good.
Radio Sweden presents news, views, and music in Sweden today. In Stockholm, I'm Al Simon, and in this edition, a Swedish doctor trapped in Iraq explains his way of treating hostage fatigue. And we look at a dark side of Swedish sexuality. All this and more ahead on Sweden today. Foreigners trapped in Iraq since August 2nd may not be suffering materially, but they're walking an emotional tightrope. A few of the Swedes, like other nationals, have been released, but more and more of the hostages still in Iraq feel the pressure because as they swing between hope and despair, not knowing when some are allowed to leave and some will have to stay. One of the Swedish hostages in Baghdad is Dr. Bertel Berg, who counsels his countrymen and other nationals. Dr. Berg describes their situation in Iraq.
In actual battle, no one can stand any length of time. Suddenly, sooner or later, people will break down, and that is called battle fatigue or combat fatigue. We have therefore coined a similar phrase, hostage fatigue, which means that although physically we are quite well, or have even, as many people play tennis, running, volleyball and so on, they may have even better physical condition than ordinarily. However, it is mentally strained, it's wearisome, and different people have different liabilities for that, and also the mood will vary from day to day. The signs and symptoms of this hostage fatigue may vary. Some people get irritable. They are very loud, they smoke more, they drink more than usual, and some others sit in a corner, and there may even be apathy. They are not very interested in anything special, they just sit there.
Do people of different nationalities react in different ways to being trapped in Iraq?
I see, of course, mainly Scandinavian, but a number of other nationalities. And as far as I can see, there will all, depending on the personality, people react differently. But there is no major difference between the nationalities. To me, it is more a question of whether these processes have been allowed to go on, or if someone has tried to work with the subject to make him feel better, if he has worked with himself.
What is your medicine for helping people beat this hostage fatigue?
We have made a 14-point program where we try to identify a number of problems and then devise recommendations how to improve or take away the symptoms. Just to take a couple of subjects. How do you do if you have discussions and controversies? If, say, you are going to, if you get 10 exit visas for a population of 100 hostages, how will you select the people who will have priorities? We say it's good to start discussion in small workshop groups and don't have too large groups. Should we have physical fitness? Yes, physical fitness is essential to have mental fitness. Another area which is very important and is probably emotionally the most sensitive is the relationship with the family at home. How much should you tell them? We know the environment we are living in. For instance, in a hotel, we know that we have electricity, water, air condition, food, and so on. But the people at home do not know. How much should we say? And I believe we should be frank with them. Maybe we should put in a little extra sunshine, but we should say really what we feel. And I think it's very important that we try to comfort and discuss with our relatives at home how their situation is.
What do you tell a grown man when he feels like crying?
I don't mind telling him that it's okay. I'm not at all out to make people cry, but I find that when I go around in different communities lecturing about this, some men start to cry, and I tell them, yes, it often happens to me when I speak to my wife. I get so emotional I cannot speak. And when I say that, I can say also that I cry sometimes. I confess that they, in one way, see me as a mirror. They accept that this is possible. I'm not primarily out to make anyone try, but it is important that we should express our anger, disappointment, longing for the people at home. In the beginning, we try to comfort our relatives by saying everything is fine. But after a couple of weeks, my friends came to me and said, this is wrong. I feel, although I say I'm fine, I'm not. I don't sleep. I'm very unhappy saying that everything is fine. And then I say, then it's better to discuss openly with your family.
Some years ago, the world adopted the phrase the Stockholm Syndrome. A group of hostages were held for days inside a Stockholm bank vault by the bank robbers, and slowly but surely they began developing a positive relationship with their captors. Hate turned to sympathy. Is this happening in Iraq?
I think that we are very careful to avoid that. We can counteract that by awareness. Telling our friends that there is something called the Stockholm Syndrome, as you say, where you start to hate the rescuers, for instance, the police, and you start more or less to love the kidnappers. So we have awareness. We try to get objective information, for instance, from the Swedish radio, from the BBC, the Voice of America, to avoid disinformation. It's quite clear that the newspapers available to many are have biased information. And I think it's, the embassy has a great role to tell people what is reality.
High-ranking Soviet official recently told a visiting parliamentary delegation from the Scandinavian or Nordic countries that new laws to be introduced in the Soviet Union to make it easier for Soviet citizens to travel abroad could have major consequences for other nations. They may not want to return home. The official said some 20 million Soviets are prepared to seek new jobs and lives in the West, with as many as 6 million considering a new home in one of the Scandinavian countries. Sweden has a population of only 8.5 million people. An influx of hundreds of thousands or more than a million people is a staggering prospect. Officially, Sweden and the other Scandinavian countries are not really interested in these economic refugees, but it's not clear just how the Scandinavians would react if so many people suddenly turned up. Radio Sweden's Keith Foster talks to Soviet journalist Alexandra Schlichter about the likelihood of just such a mass exodus.
No, I'm almost certain that it isn't going to happen. I have information, it was actually in the papers quite recently, given by Kuznetsov, the man in charge of UVIR, the Interior Ministry Department for Issuing Tourist and Immigration Visas. And he said that if the bill is passed next year, 7 to 8 million Soviets are likely to apply for foreign passports. But that, of course, as you understand, that does not automatically mean that they'll all immediately leave or want to do so, because nearly all the industrialized countries have now introduced visa restrictions. And so unless a person has a guarantee that he will have a job in a foreign country, of course, he won't be let in. And I don't think that there are too many adventurers. Well, I think that travel and immigration from Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union will in the next few months become a very serious test case for the West, which of course has always been accusing them of failing to honor the 1975 Helsinki Accords by restricting free travel. Obviously, the West never expected that political barriers would collapse so soon. That is why economic ones, apparently, are being erected instead with such haste.
Now, it was a Soviet official who first suggested this scenario of a massive outflow of Soviet citizens. Now, is there a Soviet reason, perhaps, for inviting this sort of speculation? Are they worried about some brain drain of all the best minds and skilled workers?
Yes, I think the most likely reason is the worry about the brain drain. The popular view is that paradise is in America. I don't know why. It's just there, you know. And everyone is talking about America, and of course the longest queues are the American embassy. They have hundreds of thousands of applications already. The next country, I think, is Germany, because quite a few people still know German here, and German language is on the rise here. As for Scandinavia, I don't think that too many people are aware that most Scandinavians speak English, so they just think that this is maybe some unknown land, they're afraid of it, and maybe that will stop some people.
Swedes not only enjoy hunting as a hobby, the game they take home is a very important source of food. 320,000 Swedes, men and women, in a population of 8.5 million people, are active hunters. Hunting moose, or elk as they're called in Europe, helps keep the animal population within reasonable bounds so they do not destroy precious forest and agricultural land. Talking to Radio Sweden's Keith Forster, Bo Tillander from the Swedish Hunters Association describes the annual moose hunt.
Normally we hunt elk with nose dogs. So you have some hunters placed where one normally know that nose pass. And then you have another man walking with his dog. And when the dog find the elk, the moose, he bark on it. And the thing is that normally the moose stops and is still standing there, and the hunter with the dog, he can crawl up at the place where the dog and the elk are, the moose, and he can shoot it. And if the dog not succeed to stop the moose probably he can go on one of the other hunters and can be shot.
Moose or elks, they're very big and heavy animals. Is it
indeed.
Is it a dangerous occupation?
No. No, but it's very seldom. It's, we hear that that the moose is dangerous. It's it happens to and from, but it's very, very seldom.
Now, this moose or elk hunt, do you think it's a cruel thing? I mean, are there many protests in Sweden about elk
hunting? No, it's not. It's absolutely not cruel. I think that that shooting is much less cruelty than slaughter in the slaughterhouse.
Now, is the hunt necessary for keeping elk numbers
down? Okay, the hunt is absolutely necessary. The Swedish moose population grow with about 50% of the winter stock every year. And you must shoot moose in Sweden. Otherwise, we can have no agriculture, we can have no forestry. So we must shoot moose, and we shoot every year now about 140,000.
Is there a government limit on how many can be killed?
Yes, it's from the local government. They set the license how many moose you can shoot in every hunting area.
How about the individual hunters? Can they keep the animals they kill for meat?
the hunting rights belongs to the landowners, and he can use the hunt self, or he can rent it out. And if he has the hunt in his own hand, it's his meat. And this is very valuable, you know. The weight of a grown-up moose is between 200 and 300 kilo.
So there's a lot of meat there.
Meat is very expensive in Sweden.
Yeah.
And if he has rented out, so he has rented out for money, the man he has rented to, the meat belongs to him.
What sort of person hunts in Sweden? Is it somebody who's interested in guns, that sort of thing? Is it a country people, or do city people go out and hunt?
It's it's both kinds. It's all categories of people in Sweden. And we have also now a very serious hunter's examination before you have a right to buy a rifle or a shotgun for hunting purpose. You must pass this hunter's examination.
Do any women hunt?
Yes, about 5% of all the hunters in Sweden are women. It's more women hunting nowadays than before the hunter's examination.
How long will the hunt last this year, Bo?
The hunt stops when they have shot the special number of licensed moose. Depending on how large the hunting area is, they have a fixed number of moose which they are allowed to shoot.
Finally, but for those in the world who've never tasted elk or moose, what does the meat taste like? Is it a very tasty meat?
Yes, it's very tasty. It's an excellent meat.
So you'll be looking forward to eating some elk or moose yourself later on?
Yes, I and my family, we normally live on game. So.
Foreign news media still take great delight in reporting on sin in Sweden. They call Sweden the land of free love, unrestricted sexual promiscuity. Well, many a tourist has left Sweden sadly disappointed after discovering that reputation really is only a myth. Yes, Swedes do have a frank and undramatic view of sex. Intercourse without marriage is not only accepted, it's even recommended as something healthy by none less than the clergymen in the State Lutheran Church. But those famous Swedish opinion polls confirm a high degree of fidelity between couples, married or not. Sex in Sweden is permissive. Not promiscuous. It's not the perfect society when it comes to sex. There are some Swedish women seeking something lacking at home by heading for those beach boys along the Mediterranean shores. And Swedish men are among the Western customers in the bars and brothels of Bangkok and other Asian cities. Public discussion in Sweden of these sex migrations largely centers around the dangers to the participating Swedes, like coming home with some venereal disease, or worse yet, that deadly one, AIDS. Recently, Swedes watching their evening television news saw a much darker side of their sexuality, one illegal and not tolerated in Sweden, the growing problem of adults who must have sex with young children. As reported on the Swedish TV news, this sexual minority is adding insult to injury by exporting their problem. Swedish pedophiles, mostly men but increasingly women, are among the affluent tourists from Europe and North America now flocking to Asia for sex with children. Real or worse yet, imagined cases of incest in Sweden are reported by the media, but this is an international problem. In Thailand alone, thousands of youngsters are turning to prostitution to survive. The Swedish television report showed a young Thai boy, after a brutal beating with an electric whip, inflicted by a vacationing schoolteacher from Europe. You find pedophiles in all nationalities and professions. The Swedish reporter said they're abusing Asian children as young as 8 for the price of 2 meals and a few dollars. Also on the same evening news program in Sweden was clergyman Ron O'Grady from New Zealand. With the support of the World Council of Churches, he's visiting Stockholm and other Western cities to rally support for a campaign against the exploitation of Asia's children by tourists from rich countries.
Well, we know that the two sources, major sources, are Germany and the United States. And on the next level, you have a series of about 5 countries, of whom Sweden is one, Switzerland, Australia, Canada. And these countries have, and England, these countries also provide a large number of pedophiles, the adults who want to have sex with children. We don't know the full extent of it in Sweden yet. There's been very little work done here, and in fact, it seems that very few people are aware that so many men from this country, as from other West European countries, are in fact going to Southeast Asia for the purposes of sex. We would expect that groups in Sweden would share the horror, the moral outrage that a lot of us feel when we are confronted with this developing new phenomena. We would hope that Swedish organisations, church groups, children's rights groups, women's groups, those who are concerned at all about the rich and the poor, would see that this is one clear example of the way in which the rich countries are exploiting the poor countries. And we would expect them to support this program.
Swedes no doubt do share the Reverend O'Grady's shock and indignation. Stopping the sex traffic to Asia is more difficult. Those all-inclusive package tours to third world countries are cheap. And not everybody heads for Thailand, Sri Lanka, and the Philippines to abuse children. Foreign aid agencies in the rich countries could help to create education and job opportunities so children need not prostitute themselves to survive. Asian governments cannot just ignore the problem and say we need the tourists. And in Sweden, that society enlightened in so many other respects must try harder to reach that sexual minority who abuse children. Dotting Sweden's long coastline are islands, by one count, 110,000 of them. Some of the islands are completely deserted. Others have year-round residents, and more Swedish islands in the Baltic or the North Sea are offering fully developed hotel and restaurant facilities. To learn more about island life in Sweden, Radio Sweden's Walston Wheeler talks with Ingmar Lehman, Secretary General of the Swedish Touring Club.
Since the archipelagos actually cover the shores from the extreme west coast along the southern parts of Sweden up to the northern parts of the Baltic, they vary according to in what landscape they appear. On the west coast, you will find the granite islands, uncovered islands. In the extreme south, you will get more trees on the island, and that goes for the islands along the east coast, along the Baltic as well.
How big are these archipelagos?
Well, some of them are very big. Take, for example, the archipelago around Stockholm that starts south of Stockholm and goes a couple of hundred miles north of Stockholm. And actually, the archipelago starts in the very city of Stockholm, because Stockholm is built on islands, and you actually are in the archipelago when you are in Stockholm.
How can a tourist to Sweden get to see these islands, both on the west coast and then the Stockholm archipelago and the other archipelagos?
Well, if you don't have a boat of your own, you can easily go out to the islands. There is a normal traffic with steamboats and fast boats out to the islands. And there is also a system of hostels out there, quite a number of them run by the Swedish Touring Club. And there is a system which means that you can go from one island to the other, and you can really get the impression of how it is to live out there and look at a beautiful nature and get the impression of being out in the sea.
What would you say, apart from the countryside and the scenery out in the islands, what other facilities are there for enjoying yourself, for a holidaymaker?
Of course, we have fishing, but some of these small fishing communities out in the archipelago are fantastic according to the cultural history. And some of them are really important touristic spots, and you get all the various kinds of entertainment that you can get on a touristic spot in some of the parts of the islands. But I would say that if you go out into the Swedish archipelago, you shall try to get the right impression of nature and culture in a traditional part of Sweden.
You were talking about hostels and people staying out in the islands for holiday, but if you've got a limited amount of time at your disposal, there are, of course, trips that go round, for example, the Stockholm Archipelago in the late afternoon, evening, and you can take a trip and get some idea of the islands and then have dinner at the same time.
That goes for most of our archipelagos, the West Coast, South Coast, and the East Coast as well. These tours are extremely popular. You go out in early afternoon, and you make a tour and return, say, around midnight, and you had a fantastic dinner, and you have been touring around the archipelago. That is a very good opportunity.
I think you would agree with me that a tourist to Sweden hasn't really seen Sweden until he's seen one of the archipelagos, been out in the islands.
Well, of course, we always have our personal favorites, but the archipelagos is really a must and a favorite of mine.
And on that note, we conclude this edition of Sweden Today. This program was produced in the studios of Radio Sweden, Stockholm.
Well, I think it's a fascinating program, but they never seem to be able to get the record started right, you know? It's always, like, starting in the middle of the song. I don't know. That's Radio Sweden here on Brain Damage on WUSB in Stony Brook. As they merrily fiddle away there. We have, oh, look at that. The Mike Uhas line is ringing. That must mean that Mike Uhas is back in town, and he's calling us up. So let's see if he is, in fact, there. Hello, this is the Uhas line. Is this, in fact, Mike Uhas?
Yes, it, in fact, is.
Oh, well, how about... We see, we reserve special lines for special staff people, and this line only rings... Oh, listen to that. There's a tone. It's a special tone at the end of the tape, which I neglected to turn down.
Well, bring it up louder.
It's, I guess it's some kind of a Swedish instrument or something. Oh, you think the guy is going to take a breath soon. But I guess he's not going to do that. I'm just going to stop that. That's enough of that.
Hey, can I borrow that tape when you're done with it?
Well, certainly, but whatever for?
Well, you know, I'm doing radio in Milwaukee now.
Yeah, you are, but not right now. Right now you're here.
Oh, well, that's true. Though tomorrow I'll be on the radio in Milwaukee on tape.
Oh, you're going to be on tape.
Yeah.
But you do
I'm
a regular radio show.
Dimensions.
You do a regular radio show on Sundays in Milwaukee, and what are you going to do with this Radio Sweden tape, eh?
Well, I was thinking using some of that incidental music in between pieces there for just incidental music within
well,
my program.
Well, be real careful when you start it up, because they didn't start it up too good. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I didn't notice.
Each one. You know, you're familiar with the term wow?
Well, wow,
not wow as in amazing, wow as in, you know, screwing up the beginning. It's like when you start a record in the middle of the song and you hear the record, you know, getting up to speed. That's what they did on every single one of their, you know, there's no excuse for that either. I mean, you don't have to do that unless you put the needle down in the middle of the song and you turn the volume up and then you start the machine.
Well,
there's so many ways to get around that. I just,
if that's the case, I don't want to borrow it.
Well, I mean, if you fade into it gracefully like they should have done, I'm sure nobody will know the difference. But, you know, I feel like going over to Stockholm and showing them how to use turntables.
Probably don't have very good pronunciation either. I mean, punctuation either.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't get into that. Listen, Mike, we just received a special weather statement.
Yeah?
Special weather statement from the National Weather Service, New York, New York, at about 10 o'clock on Saturday. What? Wait a minute. It says Saturday, December 15th, 1990, but it's dated today, December 22nd.
How about that?
They messed up big time.
Well, what does it say?
Put the wrong date in. Well, I don't know if I should read it. If they can't even get the date right, I mean, maybe we shouldn't be depending on them for the weather.
They reached the southeast coast Monday morning.
Wait a minute. That's the weather radio, which I assume you're holding up to your telephone.
I did that, didn't I?
No, that's very illegal to do without FCC approval.
Oh, okay.
You're simulcasting another radio station, and I don't think you received permission from them, did you?
Well,
Mike, you have just committed a federal offense over our airwaves, and...
Hey, I'm not the one who's operating the radio station.
That's true. Let's just drop it right here and then. Okay. Special weather statement, whatever date it's meant for, but it did come over just a few minutes ago. Dense fog tonight. Thank you, Mike. Dense fog tonight. Locally, dense fog will remain in the area tonight into Sunday morning. In central and eastern Long Island, dense fog will be more widespread. I don't know what that means. What does it mean, dense fog will be more widespread? Does that mean it's going to be less dense?
No, there'll be more of it.
Well, I didn't understand a word you just said, Mike.
But no, there'll be more of it.
Well, what are you talking through, a foghorn? Talking to your phone. I
talking into my phone.
Well, there's something wrong with your voice. All of a sudden, I can't understand a word you're saying. You sound very over-distorted.
Over-distorted?
Yeah.
Let me walk up to the speaker here so I can hear what I'm sounding like.
Oh, don't do that. You'll get feedback.
Will I?
I think you will if you walk up too close.
I guess I don't hear it. Oh, well.
Well, maybe you're not tuned to the right station. Anyway, let me continue.
See, I have to readjust my carbon particles.
There's people hanging on every word here because we have, like, a bulletin we're reading, so let's not be silly about this. Now, I don't honestly know what it means when they say dense fog will be widespread. Maybe they mean that dense fog is going to be everywhere, or maybe they mean dense fog is going to be divided up into many places and hence not very dense. But maybe they wouldn't tell us then if it wasn't going to be dense. So I don't know. I'm not quite sure what it means, folks. I've never done this before. I'm trying not to panic. So the fog will be accompanied by periods of drizzle. I messed up everything. Drizzle.
Did they write dribble?
I don't want to comment. Drizzle and possibly a shower. Possibly a shower. Okay, well, that's awfully considerate. The roads may be slippery. The roads may, in fact, be slippery. And, you know, on my way over here, I saw three different accidents.
And you live just a few blocks away.
I live just over across the street. You know, it's incredible how many people, when it starts raining, feel obligated to drive like a moron. Have you noticed that?
Never mind. I won't comment on that either.
Well, okay, but I'm telling you, a lot of people out there do feel obligated to drive like morons, and you got to be careful, folks, because I know our listeners aren't the morons, but the moron's right in front of you, you see? Those people driving, that's a moron in front of you, so you
got to
be careful. He's gonna slam on his brakes and careen around and suddenly start facing you and heading in your direction, so you got to be ready for that.
That's right. Now, last night that we had dense fog, remember that?
What do you mean, remember that? It was only last night.
Well, do you remember it?
Not really. It wasn't that dense.
Well, apparently it was, because we almost did not land at MacArthur Airport.
Mike, I was not up in the sky like you were. I was down on the ground, so maybe it was denser up in the sky.
It was more widespread, let's just say.
Okay, we'll say that. Anyway, the roads may be slippery, therefore, it's really something when a weather forecast says therefore in it. Therefore, travelers are advised to use caution and allow... This is grammatically wrong. Listen to this. Therefore, travelers are advised to use caution and allow yourself extra time to reach your destination. They messed up the pronouns there.
Because that's incorrect.
They started off in the third person, and they worked its way down to, the second person or the first person?
Well, I'm not sure. Let's not analyze it. But, you know, why would anybody be going out because you guys have such high gas prices here?
Well, as opposed to where? Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Hold on. I haven't finished the bulletin yet. Further statements will be issued if needed. ES. I don't know what ES means, but I figured I'd say it.
Eastern Suffolk, I think.
Oh, maybe. Okay, so keep tuned to this station here for further updates on the emergency situation. Again, widespread dense fog is here. So, Mike, you say gas prices are high.
Yeah, you know, I saw that, like, the cheapest one I saw was $1.39.9 here recently, the other day, today.
Well, that's a cheap one, actually. I'm used to paying more like $1.50. And, you know, I'd like to know, how come they're not plummeting down as fast as they plummeted up?
Well, they did in Milwaukee. The gas around us, I mean, I just looked at one gas station near where I live, and it was $1.149 the other day.
Was it?
$1.149.
Well, that's the way it should be, you know?
Yeah.
That is the way it should be.
No, I think everybody here, and I don't want to offend any gas retailers or anything, but I think people here are being ripped off.
Yeah, ripped to the gills. They certainly are. And it's about time that there be a spontaneous demonstration of the masses in the streets of Stony Brook and Setauket and the Three Village area and all that kind of thing. So who knows? Maybe we'll start that tonight.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we'll try to like rabble rouse and things.
Well, now this has been fun. I'll have to be running along now.
Well, Mike, it's a pleasure always hearing from you. Will we be hearing your smiling voice on the actual radio doing any shows in the next coming days?
I think I may be possibly dropping in on Jim Dexter on Christmas morning.
Ah, well, that certainly will be a thrill for one and all.
Which one, though?
I don't know, but tune in. What is it? What time does that show begin?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, whatever. Tuesday morning, there'll be some fun things on the air.
I think he starts around 7 or so, I think.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know.
It's something in the morning.
I'll stumble probably in around 8 o'clock or so.
Okay, Mike. As always, a pleasure hearing from you, and be careful with the dense fog.
You too.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
And that was Mike Juhas on our airwaves. And we will keep you abreast of the fog situation. And we're going to have more stuff for you coming up right away. That Radio Netherlands thing that was backwards, well, now it's forwards, folks. And now we're going to go into it and learn all about new radio stations in Eastern Europe and fun things like that. And we'll be taking your phone calls in just a little bit. So stay tuned. This is Brain Damage.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Marks. Welcome to our survey of the media scene. Today we look at Eastern Europe with a decidedly French flavour.
This is Media Network, covering the full spectrum of the world of radio in a form easy to digest.
Woo! Thank you!
The collapse of the Iron Curtain and the policy of Glasnost, introduced by Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev, seems to have opened up the media scene in Eastern Europe and the USSR. Private radio stations have been popping up throughout the region, some of them with Western backing. The French have been the most aggressive in setting up radio stations behind the Iron Curtain, and in particular in the Soviet Union. The first company to start negotiations with the Soviet authorities last year was a holding headed by businessman Georges Polanski.
I have been in touch with Gostela Radio, the Soviet-run radio and TV company, since February 1989. At the time, I suggested the creation of the first commercial radio station in the Soviet Union. After these initial contacts, in June 1989, we exchanged some programs, and the Soviets authorized a radio station that I was running at the time, KISS FM, to broadcast 2 hours a day in the Soviet Union for 20 days, shortly before President Gorbachev's visit to France. The experiment was a success. We received 50,000 postcards from Soviet listeners.
In the light of the success, Mr. Polanski devised an even more ambitious project for the Soviet market, a commercial radio station in Russian aimed at Soviet youths. Polanski created Europe Plus France, connected with Europe Number 1 and Europe 2, one of the largest commercial operations in France. On April 20th, Europe Plus France was granted permission to rebroadcast the Mandela concert from Wembley Stadium in London throughout the Soviet Union. 4 days later, Georges Polanski was in Moscow to conclude a new agreement with the Soviet authorities.
I signed a contract with Sovtel Export on April 24, 1990, for the creation of a joint venture called Europa Plus USSR. We have 51% of the shares, and the president will be a Frenchman, which is rather unique in the Soviet Union. The joint venture will initially run a station in the Moscow region, Europa plus Moscow. We started broadcasting 6 hours a day in Moscow on April 24th. We're using a 15-kilowatt transmitter, which enables us to cover an area within about a 200-kilometer radius of the Soviet capital on the frequency of 69.8 megahertz in stereo.
Later this week, Europa Plus Moscow will also start broadcasting on medium wave, which will increase the station's coverage to a 500-kilometer region around the Soviet capital. In the future, the station plans to broadcast 24 hours a day. Currently, the program's in Russian for Russians. However, later on, Europa Plus Moscow plans to broadcast short news bulletins in English, French and German. Programming consists mainly of modern French music, although there are also quizzes, contests, travel information and weather info. Europa Plus is aimed at Europe's young people, and that's what the Soviets call the new generation, those who are coming of age under the leadership of President Gorbachev. The station's also going to broadcast information about culture, pop concerts and fashion, not only in the Soviet Union, but throughout Europe. Georges Polanski.
We are also going to broadcast commercials. After all, the station is a commercial enterprise. Europa Plus has exclusive rights for the selling of airtime in Europe and the United States. In the Soviet Union, Europa Plus USSR will handle the financial operations. Soviet companies will be able to pay for the commercials in rubles. But we are also going to have other activities in the USSR. For example, film productions, publishing, training, and so on.
But Europa Plus isn't limiting its activities to the Soviet Union. In March, the affiliate, Europe 2, Europe 2, signed an agreement with the Czechoslovak authorities to broadcast in Prague on the frequency of 88.2 megahertz.
Pour l'instant, on va continuer à l'écouter tous les vendredis en Europe 2. À 19h30, les archives personnelles de John Lennon. Ça, on se le dira.
Of last year. They broadcast nearly half an hour of advertising per day on Mayak, the national radio station, readily translated as Lighthouse. It also has a jazz program on the network. A latecomer in the race to conquer the Soviet radio scene is Radio Nostalgie. They signed an agreement with Radio Moscow International for a similar type of operation. Frédéric Kost, Radio Nostalgie's general manager.
The agreement involves the setting up of a joint program, partly made up of Radio Nostalgie's French broadcasts, relayed to Moscow via the Eutelsat satellite. In Moscow, Russian-language news bulletins and commercials are inserted into the programming. Within a year, we want to establish a joint venture, and if everything goes well, we will create a nationwide radio network in the USSR.
Radio Nostalgie also primarily broadcasts music. The first transmission was on April 30th at 7 hours UTC.
We broadcast from 11 to 16 hours local Moscow time. In other words, from 7 to 12 hours UTC. For the moment, only on medium wave. But starting this summer, we will also broadcast on FM 24 hours a day. One rather interesting detail is that the medium wave transmitter that we are broadcasting on used to be used to jam Western radio stations in Moscow. It's an indication of how far perestroika has gone in the USSR.
Radio Nostalgie broadcasts commercials on the same basis as Europa Plus. Its Soviet partner deals with all Soviet companies interested in broadcasting commercials, though they do receive advice from the French company on how to put those commercials together. Talking of nostalgia, maybe you remember this. That was the forerunner of what's now Radio France International. These different projects by private French radio stations does seem to have left Radio France International behind in the dust. Or has it? Well, 2 weeks ago, RFI organised a special Poland week. For 7 days, RFI broadcast special programmes on Poland. And in Warsaw, RFI's French and Polish language programs were relayed 24 hours a day on the frequency of 69.8 megahertz. Denis Louche, RFI's head of operations and development, explains.
It was the same type of special operation that we've already had in cities like Libreville, Tunis, Dakar and Quebec. During an entire week, we focus on a particular country or city, on its relations with France, etc. This project in Poland was a novelty for us. It was the first time we did this in a non-French-speaking country, and the first time in the East Bloc. According to the information that I've received, the operation was a success. Our Polish transmissions on FM in Warsaw in particular had high listener ratings.
Indeed, the operation was so successful that RFI has concluded an agreement with the Polish daily, Gazeta, a pro-Solidarity newspaper, to create the first FM radio station in Polish and French. RFI has also signed an agreement with the Bucharest Polytechnic to set up a local FM station in the Romanian capital. These accords come at a time when RFI is rethinking its broadcasting policy towards Eastern Europe. 2 months ago, RFI set up a committee to review its broadcasts. It says it doesn't want to broadcast any news and music to that part of the world. According to RFI's program director, Philippe Saint-Denis, there's a real demand now in Eastern Europe for more culture and an exchange of ideas. And FM, says Mr. Saint-Denis, is the only way to go, at least for that region of the world. Nonetheless, as far as the private operations are concerned, their main goal remains profit, which is why Radio Nostalgie's Frédéric Kost is hesitant about expanding from the Soviet Union to other Eastern European countries.
La course à l'Europe de l'Est, je crois qu'il faut être pragmatique et raisonnable.
Well, I think you have to be practical and reasonable in this media race in Eastern Europe. Let's first start by making our current project in the Soviet Union a success. Afterwards, we'll see. Why did we start off with the Soviet Union? Well, we think there's a real potential market in that country. I don't know if there are the same type of conditions in other East European countries. We must be prudent. It's not just a question of setting up shop in a country and saying that we're broadcasting there. That's not really what we want to do. If we start this type of project, we want to be successful. And when I say successful, I mean financially, and not only symbolically. After all, we're a private company, with shareholders who invest money. So when we invest, we have to make a profit. We've carried out market studies in the Soviet Union, but of course, there are uncertainties and risks involved. Nevertheless, I think there comes a time when you have to trust your instincts and believe in what you're doing.
So why are these French radio stations so interested in the Soviet Union? Frédéric Kost.
This interest? Well, I think that in France, we have the same type of approach to radio and TV as the Soviets do. But it's not a one-way street. The Soviets are also interested in developing radio and TV in their country. You know, some countries have oil, others have electronics, and the French, well, we have communications.
Which, of course, is the largest industry in the world at the moment. So what do the listeners think of all these French radio stations? Georges Polanski of Europa Plus France.
The Soviet listeners have been really positive up to now. In fact, I've just heard from our Moscow office that President Gorbachev's secretary called them today to get more information about this new station which he could hear in Moscow. I don't know if he liked the programs or not, but I do know that he's listened in and he's interested.
Well, I wonder. And that French move into Eastern Europe is even more interesting in the light of results from a presidential commission in Washington, D.C., USA. Back in the third week of May, the group of advisers, which reports to the Bush administration, unanimously voted to recommend the president to wind up Radio Free Europe, that operates from a base in Munich, West Germany, and it currently broadcasts to all East European countries and the Baltic states. The Commission felt that the Voice of America, though, and Radio Liberty, which broadcasts in all the languages of the Soviet Union, should be retained. And that's all from this edition of Media Network. Join us again soon for more from the media.
This is the part we heard backwards before. I don't know if anybody remembers. Sounds a lot better. And that was the voice of Radio Netherlands here on WUSB in Stony Brook, where we're just plowing through the countries today. And right now we have a surprise for you all. First of all, Andrew Goldberger is here. Andrew, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Eric.
Wow. He's here live in the studio. And somehow he made it down, and he brought a special friend with him. And perhaps you'd like to do the introduction here, because maybe I'm not worthy of it.
Okay, we have a special guest from Kiev, the capital of the Ukraine here. He's a Russian exchange program. He's a Russian exchange student.
No, he's not the entire program. He's
going through the program of IEF. His name is Sasha. And say hello, Sasha.
Hello.
Okay, he said that very well. I just realized something, that I have both of you on the same mic, so there's no way the two of you can speak at once. I was very foolish in doing it that way, but I'll just cue you so you won't step on each other. There's no way the two of you can speak at once, because I have to throw a toggle switch. But Sasha is here. How long are you here for in this country?
What can I say about America?
How long? Next, let's see. Are you here till New Year's or January?
About this holiday.
Yeah, you're here for the holiday season.
This holiday is a very interesting holiday.
Uh-huh.
In Russia, we not have holiday 25 December. We have New Year on the January 1st, and this holiday great too in our country. We have Christmas 6 January, but more popular in Russia New Year January 1st. But some people celebrate Рождество in mm-hmm. our country.
Uh-huh. So January 1st is a big holiday in
yes.
the Soviet Union. I see. I'm going to go back to Andrew now for a second. Andrew, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Well, that's good. Maybe you can answer the question I asked originally. How long is Sasha here for?
Oh, he's here till January 1st, and he went to school for the last 3 days, uh-huh. Wednesday through Friday. I think he enjoyed himself.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask this question then. Sasha, what do you think of American school?
American school and Soviet school, different school. In American school, I can say that people not have school suits. In Soviet school, we have school form, the trousers and jacket.
Uh-huh. And you have to wear that?
Yes. This is not very good.
Uh-huh.
But American school, I can see that some boys and girl can... some boys and girls have rights that we haven't this in our school. This
more informal.
Yes.
Wear whatever you want.
Yes, we not can have. We not have this in our school.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe in the future you will. Because 5 years ago, you know, when you were 10, you're 15 now.
Yes.
When you were 10, things were very different.
Yes.
How are they different?
In our school, we sit two people on the desk, and we have different lessons. Every day, but I can see that the American people have lessons every day, equal lessons.
Uh-huh.
And they study lessons whose he haven't.
Uh-huh.
They haven't physical... physical culture every day. He play hiking or other games lessons, but we have time for games after some lessons.
Mm-hmm. Do they teach English? Does everybody have to take English as a language?
Yes, we study English in our school.
Uh-huh, because we don't study Russian. I wish we did, but we don't. You know, you speak English very well, but we don't speak Russian at all. I don't think anybody in there can speak Russian. So that's something. So you're here for about another week or so, and then you're going back to, you're from Kiev.
And when I can see all America, I go to Kiev, and I won't come back America too.
Yeah.
I have many friends in America, and I can I won't see them.
What republic is Kiev?
I live in Ukraine.
Ukraine. Yeah. And as Ukraine nationalists want to break away from the Soviet Union, do you think that's going to happen?
I not understand.
Well, there's nationalist movements. They want to become separate from the Soviet Union. Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Georgia, Ukraine.
Ukraine?
Yeah.
No, but Ukrainian is Ukrainian give many foods for Russia. Ukrainian have many good ground where we can grow many foods and bread. And Ukrainian has many coal, oil field, and other metal.
So the Soviet Union needs Ukraine.
Yes.
Very much.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if Andrew is still in there. Let's see if he... Andrew, can you...
Yes,
you?
I can
okay,
hear you.
Great. I'm just kind of weird with the setup here. Okay, well, what are... I'm going to ask one last question here, and then we're going to go into a Moscow mailbag from Radio Moscow, which I think is pretty appropriate. Then we'll go to some phone calls. I assume that Sasha's going to your school.
Yeah. Well, he attended 3 days, yes.
Uh-huh. And what is the general impression among American kids?
They absolutely adored him. I mean, there were girls that gave him gifts, and, you know, he's quite the ladies' man. he was giving bottles of perfume, and... my impression is that they were given by the Russian government. I'm not sure, but I think they were give some good gesture.
Well, I hope you got one.
Oh yeah, I got this great hat. If you can see it in here,
yeah, a killer hat in there. He's got this. What is it? A red army
it's
hat.
It's a KGB Russian army hat. Yeah.
Is it a KGB hat or is it just a red
army
hat?
I think they wear it too, but this is an actual
KGB. Is supposed to be a secret organization. You know, they don't have official
no,
hats.
No, they don't know. It's not like a tourist thing. You know, buying the hats. But,
No, oh, you got this great hat now, huh?
Yeah, and I got the Paul McCartney Russian album, and
Only released in the Soviet Union.
Right.
Wow. Okay, well, thanks for bringing Sasha by. Maybe we'll chat a little bit later, but we're going to go into Radio Moscow right now, and thanks, Sasha, for being here, and good luck in the United States and in the Soviet Union. Hopefully we'll see you in the Soviet Union at some point, too, because that's someplace a lot of us want to go to. Right now, we're going to go into our regular feature of Moscow Mailbag, where we answer all, well, we don't do it, but they do it. They answer all your questions about life in the Soviet Union. And, of course, you folks are free to write in. And I think some of you already have written in. I hear names from the area. And imagine that. When you write into Radio Moscow, the whole world hears your question. So all you have to do is write to Radio Moscow, Moscow, USSR, and say that you heard it on WUSB. Enough said. We're going to take your calls right after Moscow Mailbag. And we have a special phone number tonight, too, because we had problems last week, and the phone company was nice enough to give us a free night. So we'll give you the details of that in just a little bit. So here we go.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. Joe Adamoff to answer your questions. Joe Davis, program director of WBCA in Bay Minette, Alabama, has sent us questions from Baldwin County students. Today we continue answering them. The first one is, if you were president of the Soviet Union, how would you control your country?
Well, if you want me to be president, I'd say I would introduce a quicker plan of transferring to a market economy. I would work out a more concrete mechanism of transition to a market economy. Then maybe I would allow private ownership of land by the farmers, parallel with other forms of ownership like collective and state farms, leasing land, and so on. Let them compete and see who makes out better. Then, I think I would react quicker to some of the ethnic problems and not sweep them under the carpet. In foreign policy, I'd do just what Mr. Gorbachev is doing, I think.
Do you think there'll be world peace?
Today, the Cold War has been buried for good. I think you all know that. There's no chance of an East-West conflict. But as you probably know, there are many hot spots which may evolve into a North-South conflict, so-called. The most dangerous area is the Persian Gulf. But before force is used, absolutely everything must be done to try to resolve the conflict peacefully and bring Saddam Hussein to his senses. I want to stress the growing role of the United Nations in resolving conflicts, and also its role as a peacekeeping force, and I think its role as a peacekeeping force should be enhanced.
What sort of books do you like to read?
Well, the questions were all asked by students of Baldwin County in Alabama, and I went to school number 112 here in Moscow to get some of the answers. The students told me they like to read science fiction, they like to read novels, detective stories, books on travel, and one girl said she likes to read poetry. Now, this is not unusual because poetry is quite popular in this country.
What subjects specifically are taught in school?
Oh, let the students of school 112 speak for themselves.
At school, we take literature, Russian literature, geography, biology, English, chemistry, physics, mathematics, physical training.
Well, that was Marina Dolidze from the 8th grade. I think she forgot to mention history. Some of the grades study astronomy, and they also started to work on computers nowadays.
How do you feel about the changes going on in your country, especially in the Baltic republics?
I suppose you have in mind the tendencies to break away from the Union. In a way, these feelings, I think, can be understood when you think of the injustices and, yes, horrors of the Stalin period, plus the dire straits of our economy today in this transitional period. Their demands, of course, are legal, but I feel that had the economy functioned normally, this question would not have come up. Remember, in Europe, the tendency is to integrate, to come together, not to separate. You must remember also that in our Union, every republic, and this is no exaggeration, every republic is connected by hundreds of economic threads and ties to other republics and vice versa, like the states in your Union. And Mr. Gorbachev has promised full economic and political sovereignty within the Union, a union of truly free nations. Because without a Union, without its hundreds of interconnecting threads, there cannot be any economic reform or transition to a market economy. With secession, other problems arise naturally. Well, I'll give you some examples. Lithuania had, added to it, parts of territories that used to belong to Belarus, to Poland. Now, what are you going to do? Take these territories away from Lithuania? Or how are they going to compensate for the giant investments by the Union into their economy? Then, of course, the man in the street. The citizens of these republics must be consulted. Mr. Gorbachev says, let's hold a referendum. I think that's fair enough. Will they break away? Time will show.
How much English do you know?
Well, the question is addressed to our students. Mind you, they have only 45 minutes of English a week, which isn't much, so judge for yourselves. They'll be giving more answers in this program.
What is your dress code and limitations?
Dress. Well, our schools have a uniform, which they're free not to wear outside of schools. The boys have dark blue jackets and pants. They wear a shirt and tie with an emblem on their left arm. The girls have a corresponding smart blue suit, too. As for hairdos, I'm speaking of the girls, cosmetics, earrings, well, they're frowned upon by the teachers, but not forbidden. When I came to record the students, most did not wear their uniforms. You know, there's a movement in general in the country to do away with the uniforms.
Who decides what sort of interests you will follow?
I suppose by that you mean, do they have electives in schools? Well, I answered that in the previous program. Yes, they do. The decision is 100% up to the student, though they do have professional guidance bodies. The students, of course, are influenced by their parents, by their friends, by television, and very much more. Now, if your question means, are they free to choose their road in life, their profession, their skill, what college to go to? Yes. They're 100% free to do so, and the decision is 100% up to the student.
What should we see if we were there in Russia?
What should you see? I think you should meet as many of your opposite numbers as possible. Visit a youth club. I think you should visit some of our sports stadiums. Incidentally, school number 112 has 4 gym halls and a 25-meter pool. I think you should see the ancient cathedrals of the Kremlin, some of which date back to the 14th and 15th centuries. You should see the diamond exhibit. In the Kremlin, in the museum, you'll find the boots of Peter the Great and the throne of Ivan the Terrible, the royal jewels of the former czars, the beautiful carriages and clothes. Well, I think you should not miss Moscow University, that very beautiful building overlooking the city on a hill, or maybe see a ballet at the Bolshoi. I think any visit to the Soviet Union should include Leningrad with its fabulous museums that are only second or maybe not second to the Louvre in Paris. You should visit the Peskarov Cemetery in Leningrad where most of the 900,000 that died of hunger during the siege of Leningrad lie buried. I think you should visit one of our republics of Central Asia. See ancient Samarkand with its mosques and medrese. The medrese, incidentally, are religious schools. Maybe a visit to the Black Sea resorts, where the climate will be very much similar to yours in Alabama. The country is so large and varied that a brief answer, I think, would always be incomplete. Oh, yes, the Siberians would be sure to invite you to see Lake Baikal, the deepest lake in the world. It's about 6,000 feet deep and holds 20% of the world's fresh water. Or maybe Science City in Novosibirsk out in Siberia.
What kind of sports do you participate in school?
Well, let students of school 112 speak again.
In our school, has a section of soccer, of tennis, of badminton, of martial arts, and basketball. We play basketball of the lessons of physical training.
Do you go in for boxing?
I go in for boxing outside of school.
There is a swimming club in our school. And also I want to say that many school children go to tennis. And they like to play tennis very much. We have all facilities in our school for sport.
If you were in the United States, what would you want to do?
Well, depends. I think I'd like to see as much of the country as possible and meet as many of your people as possible. I've never been to California, for instance, never been to San Francisco, though back in October I spent about 2 hours at the airport in Los Angeles.
Automobiles are essential in everyday American life. Even most teenagers have a car. Is this true of your country?
I'm afraid this is not true. To begin with, you may get a license only after you're 18. Secondly, here in Moscow, there are only about 500,000 private cars, which means there's one for every 6 families. They're very expensive, and even at the high cost for which they sell, they're next to impossible to get. But we're going to open a new automobile plant in the coming years, which should somewhat ease the situation. Mind you, we do have a ramified public transport system in all cities and towns. Incidentally, when I was in Seattle, I was surprised to see trolley buses running in that city. We have them here. We have them practically everywhere.
What are the hobbies of a Russian teenager?
I asked that when I was at school number 112.
For instance, I'm fond of going to the theater. I'm fond of reading. I'm fond of pop music.
And you?
We like to collect something like the stamps, small calendars, and we like to dance, to sing songs.
Mm-hmm.
We are fond of going to discotheques. We are fond of going to the cinema. We like to do different things.
Like what?
My hobby is to prepare different tasty things. I like to eat cakes very much, and I like to prepare them
very much. In other words, you like to cook?
Yes.
Good.
What are some extra school activities?
Well, in skiing, of course, it's winter. Sometimes whole families go skiing on a Sunday. Skating, of course. Ice hockey. You find kids skating on a big pond or lake not far from my house. In summer, it's swimming, boating, mushroom hunting, which is, I think, a national pastime here. Teenagers like to go hiking, camping. They play volleyball or soccer out in the open. You ask about extra school activities. Well, most of our schools have various hobby clubs like drama, choruses, dancing, various sports clubs. Some schools even have orchestras and belong to nature lovers clubs. Well, I think that's all the questions that we have from the Baldwin County students in Alabama. The questions were sent in by Joe Davis of WBCA in Bay Minette. Well, the voices that you heard in that school were those of Marina Sirotskaya, Marina Dolidze, Alexei Kostov, Natasha Frantseva, and Oksana Teslenko, if you can pronounce their names. All right, on with the questions.
A question from Greg Erickson, Port Arford, Oregon. What happened to Tuva after it joined the Soviet Union in 1944? Did it maintain a separate identity, or did it become part of another republic?
Tuva became an autonomous region within the Russian Republic.
Are there many people in the Soviet Union who collect paper money of the world?
Paper money, no. Some do. Some do collect banknotes. Not many. Just the other day, incidentally, on television, they showed a very big collection of old Russian banknotes of one such collector. Of course, we have more coin collectors, not to mention the hundreds of thousands of philatelists or stamp collectors who are united in a union called the National Philatelic Society, and they publish their monthly magazine. They also hold very interesting exhibitions.
William Van Camp of Helena, Montana asks, have any of you at Radio Moscow gone to see the movie Gone with the Wind, now running in Moscow? Gone with the Wind was the greatest work of fiction to ever appear on the movie screen.
Well, I know that quite a few people here have seen the film, and I believe that Margaret Mitchell's book, Gone with the Wind, is truly the greatest American work of fiction. But, William, I believe there is a greater work of fiction that has been screened, and that is Tolstoy's War and Peace. It was first made into a movie in the United States quite some time ago, with Henry Fonda playing the main role. Though some Russians said it wasn't quite Tolstoy. Well, I will say one thing, though, that the American film, the American version, was a very good movie, a very watchable and interesting movie, and it held your attention. And when Soviet director Bondarchuk tried to film War and Peace in several series, he, of course, was true to the book, yes, and the result was a very boring movie. The screen, of course, you realize, has its own laws, and any movie worker certainly knows this, but, you know, you can't mechanically project a book onto the screen.
Peter Warnke of Vallejo, California. Now that the world political climate has changed drastically, are there plans to reduce programs to reduce airtime?
Yes, there are plans to reduce airtime for many of the languages of our external services of Radio Moscow. Peter, you guessed right.
Madeline Kuehl, Lombard, Illinois. There's a Kuehl River in the USSR, right? It is close in spelling to our language.
River by that name, but there is a lake in Kyrgyzia, Central Asia, called Issyk-Kul. It's a huge lake, about a mile above sea level. And there are seagoing vessels used on this lake because of the violent storms that often rage there. And incidentally, trout has been brought to the lake from Armenia, and the fish has acclimatized well.
Madeline asks, do you have amusement parks in your country?
Well, not like your Coney Island, but many parks, like Gorky Park in Moscow, have all kinds of breathtaking rides, sideshows, and a huge Ferris wheel 160 feet high.
Robert Singer, Greeley, Colorado. It is too bad that all the old ethnic prejudices and ancient hatreds in some of your republics are making it difficult to achieve your economic goals. The new information age dictates cooperation instead of splintering into micro-tribes.
Robert, Mr. Gorbachev would have subscribed to what you said. The other day he said just what you're saying. What is needed is unity and cooperation to achieve our economic goals.
That was Joe Adamov answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR.
Thank you very much, whoever you are. They never say who she is, you know? That's disturbing, because I'd like to meet her. But that was Moscow Mailbag, heard every week at this time. Well, no, actually, it's usually heard about an hour earlier. We've been running so much stuff tonight. I don't know why. But this is the holiday break here at Stony Brook, so it's kind of the whole campus is abandoned, and yeah, I don't know, you just kind of sort of want to listen to all these tapes that have been piling up. Not that these are old tapes. These are all pretty current. Anyway, we've got the Tripod's fabulous adventures coming up in just a second. When we last left them, I believe they were planning a vacation, which is something I could sure use. If you recall last week when we attempted to do call-ins, they didn't quite work very well because the phone system wasn't working, and then our backup system completely failed, which was so embarrassing and so horrible. And made me incredibly disappointed in our technical abilities, but all is well this week. Not only is the system working, but the backup system is working just fine. What happened last week, according to a technician I spoke to, was that this 800 number that we had as a backup, it failed. The computer failed in New York State between the hours of 10 and 12. Now, that has to tell you that there is most definitely a God, and he does not like brain damage, because we are on from 10 to 12, and we happen to be trying to use that number at that particular time and date, and that was the only time it went down and the only place it went down. So, as a goodwill gesture, the phone company that runs that particular number has given us this week completely for free. So, I guess I've been kind of foolish playing these tapes, because we could have been talking for 2 hours and no one has to pay for it. But, well, we have some time left, so I'll give you the number now. We'll go into the Tripods and we'll take some phone calls. And the number will not cost you a cent, no matter where you're calling from. You can call from Connecticut. You folks out there that always say you don't call because it's long distance. Well, now it's free, so no excuses. This is the only week we're going to do this, by the way, because I don't think we're going to get it for free again. Number is 1-800-966-4225. That's to call up here at WUSB. 1-800-966-4225. Call now, and the phone will ring while the tripods are on, and then we'll be on the air after that. So let's rejoin the thrilling adventures. Put your seatbelts on. Thrilling adventures of the Tripod family as they struggle with all their problems.
Radio Free Long Island by Duplex Conglomeration with the Three Village Tobacco Farms proudly presents the authentic adventures of the Tripod family, the continuing saga of one of America's most illustrious families in their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. Last week, our friends hadn't quite decided on where to spend their much-needed vacation. We join them now in Charlie's front yard as we hear Kathy say...
Well, now look at this, Howard.
What is it, Kathy?
Well, remember you were talking about Bolivia having two capitals before?
Yeah.
Well, look at the Netherlands, over here in Europe.
Well, I'll be. They have two capitals over there, too.
That's right. And they have one called The Hague, and another one called Amsterdam.
That's not all, folks.
But what do you mean, Charlie? There are three capitals?
No. I'm afraid it's a lot more serious than that, Kathy. The country itself has two different names.
What?
It's true, Kathy. You can call it the Netherlands, And you can also call it Holland. See?
You can? Oh, I know they can't get away with that. Two capitals is bad enough, but two different names for the same place.
Well, now just wait a minute, Kathy. Now, look at our own country. Okay, now, mm-hmm. You can call it the United States.
That's over here on this page.
Right. Okay, there it is. The United States, you can call it that, or you can also call it America, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Well, no, Howard, it's totally different. The United States of America is all one name. I mean, you wouldn't go saying the United Holland of the Netherlands, could you? Well,
no. Can
you?
I think she's right, Howard.
Of course I'm right. And those people can't get away with what they're doing. I'll see to that.
Well, no, wait. Let's not get too involved in this. I mean, we're just trying to go on a vacation.
Wait a minute. What language do they speak over there?
Where?
Is it called Hollish or Netherlandese?
I think they speak Dutch, Kathy.
Dutch? Well, why in the world don't they call it Dutchland? That would solve all their problems.
That does make sense.
Except for the two capitals and all.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kathy, I think if you say Dutchland or... No, wait a minute. Maybe it's Deutschland. Yeah, if you say that, then you're talking about Germany. But I think you have to be speaking German when you say it.
Well, why don't we just go down to Australia? I mean, everything's so nice and simple over there. They speak English, right?
Yeah.
And there aren't any wars going on right now, right?
Yeah, that's right.
The climate's comfortable.
Well, no, wait a minute, Kathy. There's one thing I don't think you're going to like about Australia. Here, take a look.
What's that, Charlie?
Well, Australia is the name of the continent. See, but it's also the name of the country, too.
No. Who are you trying to kid, Charlie?
Yeah, he's right, Kathy. I heard the same thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I ripped the United States right in half.
Oh, Howard, that was Charlie's atlas.
That's okay, folks. Don't worry about it.
I got
a map inside.
We'll repay you. Don't worry. Just put it on our bill.
But what I was saying, Kathy, it's like if there was a country called Europe right inside the continent.
Oh, well, that's just too much. It's getting so you can't go anywhere anymore without getting thoroughly confused.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Kathy. This is getting very frustrating. I mean, we've been looking for over 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it
find a place to go on vacation in every place. We've hit every continent now.
That's right. All we want to do is just go on a little vacation and relax for a little while.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard? Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Charlie.
Oh.
I didn't see that.
Oh, what a mess. You know, you folks gesture with your hands a little bit too much.
Here, I'll help you clean that up. What kind of statue was it, Charlie? I noticed it as it was flying through the air.
It was a statue of Charles de Gaulle, made by the famous Chinese statue maker, Wally Chuberg.
Oh, I hope it wasn't worth too much.
You know, we tripods are always breaking things. Remember that time back in Big Bear City that you knocked over that entire display in the department store cost thousands of dollars to replace?
Yeah, and remember the time when you messed up your uncle's brand new chair?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, you claimed you were throwing it out the window at a burglar. Remember?
Wait, no, I don't.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, you said there was a burglar, but throwing it turned out to be a cat.
Wait, that's just funny. That's not funny, Charlie.
Howard,
I don't even remember that.
Howard, in 20 years, you're going to think it's
all right. I can just see Howard doing that.
Oh, boy. You ripped
your I don't understand you folks. Why is it so funny about this? I never threw a chair at a cat through a window in Big Bear City. What is that?
Let's just say we've developed a bad reputation over the years.
Oh, for breaking things. Yeah, we're always breaking things. It's simply unbelievable.
Yeah, we sure have. Phew, we must have chalked up a couple of $100,000 in insurance premiums alone.
Well, there's another one of those statues around somewhere.
Oh, good. I hate to think I broke something of value.
Yeah, there's another one in France somewhere. It's supposed to be the only other one in existence.
Oh, then I did break something valuable.
Oh.
I mean, I feel just awful, just terrible.
If there's anything we can do to repay you, Charlie...
Do you think there's only one more in existence?
Oh.
Well, wait a minute.
What?
Oh, just wait 1 minute.
What is it?
Charlie, where did you say the last remaining copy of that statue was?
It's in France somewhere. I think it was in a town called Nice or something like that.
That's it. Howard,
what?
We're going to France.
We are?
We're going to find that statue. We're going to bring it back home if it's the last thing we ever do.
And so it's statue hunting in France for the tripods. You want to tune in next week when we'll hear Kathy say,
"It'll be nice to see your niece in Nice, won't it?"
That's next week on The Tripods, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. Substituting for the vacationing Don Topeka, this is Jeff Croton.
Well, talk about an action-packed adventure there. That was, I believe that's the one that won the Emmy. I'm pretty sure that was the one that won the Emmy. I'm not, have to check that one out. But Tripod's exclusively here on WUSB, and I say exclusively because it's costing us a bundle, so you damn well better appreciate it. All right, enough said about that. Okay, let's call up that 800 number and get our calls pouring in here so we can talk to our listeners and see just what's going on out there. 1-800. I feel so grown up doing this, reading an 800 number on the air. And, you know, it's 1-800-966-4225. You can call from anywhere. And it's toll-free, and it's free for us, too, because the phone company screwed up last week. It's sort of like what AT&T did that time. Remember, they crashed, and then they crashed on Martin Luther King's birthday, and then they gave everybody a discount on Valentine's Day. So it was kind of neat, you know. And I see calls are coming in, so it's actually working this week. It wasn't working last week, so that's really cool. That's really cool. We've got two more open lines, so let's use it up. Remember, it's not costing you a penny, no matter where you call from. So people in parts of the land that have not called before, now is your time, because this is not going to happen again, I don't think. 1-800-966-4225. So let's read the headlines, and we'll go right to the phones, assuming we fill those two lines. All right. U.S. military authorities have begun releasing the identities of the 19 American sailors who died when a chartered ferry capsized off the coast of Israel. Investigators are searching for the cause of the accident, the deadliest involving U.S. servicemen in Operation Desert Shield. Just wait till the war starts, folks. It's going to seem like nothing. Ships will be sinking every day. President Bush says allied forces in the Persian Gulf are prepared to respond vigorously to any provocation by Iraq. The president, speaking to reporters at Camp David, rejected suggestions that the allied forces are still not battle-ready. A German government official says evidence indicates some German firms plan to ship goods to Iraq in violation of a UN trade embargo. The official says no proof has been found that German goods actually landed in Iraq illegally. All right. And a Mexican newspaper reports at least 48 people were killed when a bus plunged over... I don't believe this. A bus plunged over a cliff Friday afternoon. Now, folks, I'm not making light of this at all. I mean, I don't think it's funny. But it's kind of funny that there's always these bus plunges in Mexico. I mean, if you read National Lampoon, right, the true facts section, they have this whole thing on bus plunges, and almost all of them take place in Mexico. And it turns out that there's this writer, or there was this writer until it was discovered, at the New York Times, who took great delight in writing stories with the headline bus plunge. And it sort of became an expression in the newspaper world, bus plunges. So apparently another one has plunged in Mexico, plunged over a cliff Friday afternoon. The accident, according to the paper, took place 150 miles northwest of Mexico City. It's just, you know, when's the last time a bus plunged on Long Island? You'd never hear of these things. I'm not saying they're covered up. I'm saying they don't happen. So it's kind of weird. Kind of weird, folks. Okay, we got a couple of more small items, including what the hell is wrong with the weather. That's what everybody keeps asking me. Who's this? Oh, look who just stopped in.
Hi, this is Greg Lake on WUSB Stony Brook, and I believe in Father Christmas.
Wasn't that nice of him? Certainly was nice of people to just stop in and wish us well. Boy, it's 11:36 here on WUSB, and comedian Bob Hope is off on the road to the Middle East, where he will entertain U.S. troops deployed in Operation Desert Shield. Hope and his troop departed from an undisclosed military base in the Los Angeles area. The name of the base and Hope's travel itinerary were not disclosed because they don't want Hussein to get into the show.
Accompanying Hope are his wife, Dolores Hope, actress Ann Jillian, who he might be having an affair with, country music singer Aaron Tippin, who he also might be having an affair with, and former Cincinnati Reds catcher Johnny Bench, who he has firmly rejected. Singer Marie Osmond, the Pointer Sisters, and actress Christine Hodge of the television situation comedy Head of the Class are scheduled to join the troupe in the Mideast. Why do they call them troupe all the time? I don't know. The trip marks Hope's 33rd USO tour and his 44th year entertaining U.S. service personnel during the Christmas season. It's like we always try to get a war started for him so he has something to do. You know, last year it was Panama. And did he ever make it to Panama? I guess he didn't make it there. He was very disappointed about that. Hope's first performance was in 1941 when he hosted a radio program at March Air Force Base near Riverside, California. Hope has cracked one-liners in front of U.S. troops in Korea, Vietnam, Lebanon, and the Persian Gulf, where he appeared in 1987. And Bob Hope was on our airways, in fact, this past Wednesday on Mike Palmer's Entertainment. Yes, that's right, an exclusive interview, another exclusive thing here. I guess I should just go to the phones, eh? Okay, let's do it. Good evening, how are you? Wait a minute, can't hear anybody.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Where are you calling from?
Stony Brook.
Stony Brook, huh?
Yeah, down the road.
Okay. Called in on the 800 number and taking advantage of the amazing savings that calling from Stony Brook would have would have cost you.
This is Christina.
Christina.
Uh-huh.
How you doing?
Good. Do you remember me?
I think I can pull up your image in my mind, yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. How you been?
I'm fine.
How's school?
Hell.
Yeah, well, that school's supposed to be hell, so that means you're normal.
Yeah. I guess so. That's a good thing, isn't it?
What are you doing for this long winter's break?
Sleeping.
Well, that's what bears do.
I know. I'm hibernating. You know,
hibernating. There's nothing wrong with that. It's best time of year to do it.
Uh-huh. And putting off all these term papers.
Yes. Yeah, well, now what grade are you in? Hello?
10th.
I'm sorry, 10th?
Uh-huh.
How many term papers do you have?
What?
How many term papers do you have?
One, actually.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well, that's not so bad, is it?
I'm hearing, like, what I say, like, a minute afterwards on the radio.
Yeah, we're playing with your voice. We're distorting it and putting it through a filter and doing all kinds of neat things. That makes you sound more radio polished, you know.
Ooh, but, how nice.
Yeah, that way people say, hey, that Christina, she's got what it takes to be on the radio. And
yeah, what it takes without that.
Yeah.
And that story deserved an Emmy.
I think so. I mean, you had a lot of action there. You had to have special effects people. I think it also won something for the special effects of the smashing and all that. So,
I don't know. It had some pretty interesting facts in it.
Yeah, well, they had to have had a lot of facts, right? It was educational for the kids, if they're still up. And it was...
We broadcast it on Channel 13.
Well, yeah, except they can't afford to broadcast that.
Oh.
It's pretty steep. It's more expensive than Stardate, I'll be honest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's up there.
Uh-huh.
So the royalties keep pouring in for the folks out there that produce this.
I don't doubt it.
Okay, well, anything else on your mind, Christina?
Famous words of wisdom.
Yeah.
All men are phlegm.
All men are phlegm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell that to all the men here.
All right.
All right. Some of them seem to have taken exception to that, but...
And I say it oh so affectionately.
That's all that matters. Well, good hearing from you, and have a nice holiday.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
And, yes, people are jumping around near the studio. Well, that's just too bad. 1-800-966-4225. I love saying that. Good evening.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Middle Island.
Middle Island.
Yep.
And what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, man. That stinks about them shutting off your lines.
Shutting off our lines? Oh, well, it's one of those things. You know, when you have computers doing everything, they go down and people don't know why they go down. And that's why it's so important to always have a backup system. But our backup system was worse than our first system. So, you know, we sort of learned a big lesson last week.
Yeah, I tried to call up like dozens of times. Just kept on giving me the busy signal, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's really frustrating.
You know, I can't believe even with the backup how they screwed up, you know?
Well, yeah, you better get used to it, man, because it's happening everywhere. You'll pick up the phone, you won't get a dial tone, you'll connect to somebody, and you find yourself talking to somebody else. You think technology's getting better, but it's actually just going back to the cave ages, you know?
I don't know about this, you know. Have to start back with smoke signal, you know what I mean?
Well, smoke signals are cool.
I don't know what to say, you know.
Okay, what do you think of the Mideast situation? You think we'll be going to war on January 15th?
To be honest with you, I really do.
Uh-huh.
I'm not lying, because what he's shown so far is that he's not moving, you know?
Uh-huh.
And obviously he don't know what he's getting into, because if we decide to bomb him, he ain't going to be around for too long.
Uh-huh.
You know, we got so much air support on our side that he wouldn't really last too long, in my opinion.
You know what's interesting about this stuff? For the first time in recorded history, we've got a date for a war, you know? It's like we have previews, we can get the TV crews in position, get all the programming ready, and we know it's going to start around then, and never before, you know, has it been so considerate of the American public so that we can get ready for this. And, you know, I think it's really, really nice of them to have done that for us.
I'm glad they set a date, because now we know, you know, whether we're going to war or not, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's a positive date if they don't leave by then. Or was it January 15th, I believe it was?
Martin Luther King's birthday.
Yep.
Yeah, which I think also has something to say about that.
Well, you know, at least you got a date set now. It's better than knowing and wandering on for months thinking whether we're going to go to war or not, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. What do you think of the statement that we're not ready yet? You think that was true or that was just a ploy?
I think, you know, it's just stalling time.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, if war is meant to happen, it's going to happen, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, obviously nobody wants war, you know. I sure as hell don't. Since
no.
I'm going to be joining the service in a couple of years, I don't, you know.
Do you think Hussein wants another war?
As far as, I really can't speak for him, but just looking at him, the kind of person he is, I thought that he was backing out at the beginning. Because, you know, he was starting to let off hostages.
Right.
But, you know, now I'm starting to wonder. Maybe he wants it or not, you know, because it's sort of like if you're fighting, say you go to fight somewhere on the street.
Right.
And if you don't fight that person, you're portrayed as a sucker or a wimp, you know.
Right.
And I guess maybe he thinks that if he backs down, that other countries might try to take advantage of him, maybe, you know. I really don't know, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to say when you get this kind of situation, life or death, you know.
Well, let's continue hoping that it works out in a civilized way. Thanks for calling.
All right, no problem.
All right, all right. Toll-free number, 1-800-966-4225. Good evening.
Hi.
How you doing?
Do you know if McDonald's still has a 65-cent cheeseburger?
If they do, they're probably closed, aren't they?
Are they?
I don't know. Wouldn't they be at this time, 11:44 at night? I mean, yeah, you go to Times Square or something, they open 24 hours a day, but around here, man, there's no nightlife around here.
Yeah.
You're listening to it, man.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Always happy to be of service here. Good evening.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Do you know what this coming out with me pizza McDonald's?
What's with the McDonald's all of a sudden?
I don't know. I'm just wondering.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I was in Florida last year, and they were selling pizza at McDonald's.
Yeah, I heard in Chicago.
And it's got the people in an uproar, because they're not used to that, you know. You don't sell pizza at McDonald's. You sell pizza at a pizza place. You sell McDonald's at McDonald's. I don't know what they're thinking, but I haven't seen it up here yet. I haven't seen it up here, and I don't know, you know, how we're going to take it when that happens.
Hey, is Andrew in the studio tonight?
Yes, I am.
I'm staring at him right now. He is in the studio.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Say hello, Andrew. Well, he can't hear me, I guess. But,
I can't hear him.
But he nodded his head. That's good enough.
What about his buddy Rick? Is he there?
He's got a couple of friends with him. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So I assume you're passing along your greetings to him.
Yeah, because he gave me a call tonight and said he was going to be on.
Uh huh. Where are you calling from?
I'm Port Jefferson.
Port Jefferson. All right. Well, keep listening, I guess, is the best thing to say.
All right. Yeah. What happened last week, anyway?
Oh, last week we just had a lot of trouble with the telephones, and since it's a call-in show, that sort of messed up the show quite a bit. But it's okay. It's okay.
That's good.
I'd like to just say I had laryngitis, but I didn't. All right, thanks for calling.
No problem.
All right. 1-800-966-4225. One time only, take advantage of this special deal and call us up. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, what's up?
Oh, not much. Where are you calling from?
Talk It.
And you didn't call before, did you?
No.
Oh. Okay. What's on your mind?
Dawson, my boyfriend's a dick.
Ah, well, that's, you know, don't say his name over the air or anything like that, because that would be embarrassing for him.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. But what did he do that made you disappointed in him?
Well, we've been getting, like, stupid fights, but he's, I don't know, like, oh, we're, like, supposed to go out, right, tonight?
Uh-huh.
With, like, a whole bunch of, like, our friends and everything.
Uh-huh.
And they all came over, and I was, like, getting dressed and ready to go out.
Right.
And I went to put on my Docs, and they're like, no, don't wear your Docs. And I'm like, no, you know, I haven't worn them in, like, 2 days. I'm like, no, you know, I want to wear them. He's like, well, if you wear them, then you're not coming with us. And I thought they were, like, kidding. Like, I really didn't think they'd leave, and they split.
Really?
My boyfriend, like, took off.
What's wrong with Docs?
Nothing. He even bought them for me for Christmas.
Last Christmas or this Christmas?
This Christmas.
Oh, and you opened them. Maybe he's upset because you opened them before Christmas.
No, he came with me to get them, like, a month ago.
Uh-huh. But then it wasn't for Christmas. It was for a month ago.
No, it was for Christmas. It was just early.
I'm just saying, I think maybe you can hold out for another gift here.
Oh, no, I don't want anything else, but I mean...
How about him crawling back on his hands and knees apologizing? You want that, don't you?
You're damn straight.
All right, well, I think we can get that for you if we figure this out here, you know? You gotta convince him that, you know, he's dissed you pretty badly here, and you're not going to just take this and forget about it.
Word up.
All right. How many friends are we talking about here?
Let's see. He just had Brad and Liam with him.
Uh-huh. Okay, Brad and Liam. All right. So that's, and they're his friends, too, really, not your friends.
Wait, what?
They're more his friends than your friends, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm, like, friends with them, too.
Right. You're friends with them, too, but it's mostly, I mean, they're the ones that hang out together and laugh all the time and act stupid, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you know, right now they're probably out laughing somewhere, acting stupid and talking about, you know, you and you know, this whole event. Because it's on their mind. Don't think it's not on their minds.
Well, my boyfriend was just being, like, a lady because, you know, he was, like, what the hell did he say? Oh, yeah, he was, like... Like, like, I can't remember what he said. He was being like, oh, yeah, he was like, well, you knew when I left that I wasn't kidding. I'm like, you know, how would I supposed to know something like that then? Because, you know, he's never pulled anything like this before.
Uh-huh.
So that's like,
well,
really retarded.
Basically, what you have to say to him is, you know, accept me as I am. And I'm going to wear whatever I please. And
what?
If you don't like it, go find somebody else that wears what you want them to wear, and it will be a nice slave to you. If you want to be individualistic and wear anything, you know, he's got to accept you like that. Don't change to suit him.
There's not only that, it's like he listens to everything that his friends say, too. Like Liam was the one who was like, yeah, well, if you're going to wear them, then wear split. And he was like, see ya.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, huh.
Well, I mean, you can do two things. You can insist that he treat you... with respect and treat you as an individual, or you can insist that he do the same stupid things that he asks you to do and not wear certain items of clothing that you prefer he doesn't wear.
I don't let my mother tell me what to wear.
Right. I'm sure you wouldn't tell other people what to wear. So, you know, make some ground rules here and make sure that he sticks by them.
Yeah, exactly.
And you tell him I said so.
Being ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, at least you talk to all these people on the radio. At least you're able to share your anguish. And, you know, it's still Saturday night, and at least you're not hanging out with a bunch of creeps, right?
Well, no, because I'm really good friends. Like, his friends try to solve everything, but they were, you know, they're better friends with him than they are with me. So they were just like, you know, we got to go with him.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they try to, like, help everything and solve everything. And they were like, you know, call us tomorrow and everything and tell us what happened and all this stuff. But he's being so ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, try not to think about it because, you know, it's only going to make things worse if you think about it all the time.
Well, I got nothing else to think about.
Well, I don't know. You know, there's all kinds of things to think about. Think about, you know, all the trouble that the world is in and think about the environment and think about, you know, all the other things we talk about.
Well, that's like everything else I think about, but I don't... This is just like a big thing, you know?
Think about the fact you don't have to go to school tomorrow or Monday or anything like that, right?
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Think about going sleigh riding, you know?
Sleigh riding?
Well, okay, maybe not sleigh riding, but, you know, sometime soon, probably, it might snow. I don't know. Think about things like that. Talk to your family. Talk to your dog.
I don't have a dog. He died.
Well, there you go, then. Get a dog.
Yeah,
see, now you got something to do.
Go
down to the pound tomorrow and get a dog, and then you'll have a best friend that will never let you down.
Well, no, I do have a best friend, but she's in Florida right now.
So, give her a call. We're all connected, you know.
I don't have her phone number. I would.
Ah, call information.
I don't know where she is.
You don't know what city she's in?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
All right.
Well, I mean, if you don't know where she is, I guess there's no way you can get a hold of her unless you know somebody that knows where she is and you can call them and ask them.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Well, listen, I hope everything works out. We've got a pile of people here with even bigger problems, I think, that are waiting. And call us next week and let us know how it worked out, because, I mean, unless you're too busy having fun, you don't think of us here at the station.
Oh, I just wanted to say something also.
Yeah.
Hi to Christina, and that the guy who said the thing about the McDonald's hamburgers, thanks a lot.
Okay.
That's going to come in handy.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye.
Right. And our number again is 1-800-966-4225. And it's just for tonight, and it expires at midnight, I believe, but we'll see. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are we doing tonight?
Okay, where are you calling from?
Quorum.
Quorum. Boy, we're getting people from all over the place tonight, right?
Yeah.
Setauket, Stony Brook, Quorum, oh boy. So what's on your mind?
I want to ask just one question.
Yeah.
As Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, that's a good question, and one that... one that I'm sure we'll be debating over the years to come. Oh, boy. No, I almost gave out the old number. It's 1-800-966-4225. That is our number. Good evening.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on here? This is the voice of doom.
How you doing?
I had a sore throat tonight.
Well, then you can't lecture us too much.
Let's see. The 90s are almost over. Well, 1990 is. And I got one thing to say to the people.
Go ahead.
This year, I'm tired of hearing about all the things that are bad for the environment, including Shoreham.
Okay.
What's bad for the environment is too many people. And that's what's bad for the environment.
Well, you should be very happy this year because we're on the verge of a major war and we're going to lose a lot of people.
Oh, that's no good. That's not the way to do it. Use your brain.
Use your brain?
Use your brains. That's not the way to do it. That wouldn't put a dent in the population anyway.
Uh-huh.
It'd be a very small and insignificant number. We got to use our brains, and that's not the way to get rid of people, is through war. It's to rise our level of consciousness.
Okay, so come up with a more efficient way, then. What's a more efficient way?
Education and birth control and things like that.
Oh, yeah, of course. We always preach that here at USB.
Your program's going down the tubes.
I've noticed that.
Doing too much stuff that doesn't pertain to brain damage.
Oh, I think everything pertains to brain damage in the end.
Maybe. And I saw your article in the Stony Brook Press, and I was very dismayed.
What article? Oh, the interview.
You were almost justifying, glorifying hackers.
Well, hackers are glorious.
Yeah, but that's terrible. What kind of a attitude is that? That's stealing.
No, hacking isn't stealing. Hacking is exploring.
Come on, you don't go into somebody's... private files, it's just, you shouldn't do that. It's stealing.
Well, no, if you see a file cabinet in the middle of the street and you open up a door and look at it, is that stealing? Or is that revealing that something isn't being kept very safely?
Well, you know that you're not supposed to be there, you know. I mean, you don't...
There's lots of things you're not supposed to...
Go,
but there's lots of things you're not supposed to do, you know?
Well, I mean, I can't believe that you're almost corrupt in a way.
Oh, yeah, I guess we all are corrupt in a way.
But Eric, you're like a symbolic, like a symbol of honesty and integrity, and you were all in that article saying all these things about how hacking has been around for centuries since the beginning of man.
Uh-huh.
And you're justifying it. I don't understand.
Well, again, you know, I am a hacker. I know lots of hackers, and I believe it's something positive. Now, I don't believe stealing is right. And I think when somebody steals, it's very different than when somebody is exploring something and learning something. And, you know, maybe in the eyes of somebody else doing something that's bad, but usually the people that say that are trying to cover something up. They're trying to cover up the inadequacies of security and perhaps things that are being stored in computers about other people, about organizations and things like that. A lot is in there.
You're not supposed to be there. It's not your territory.
Well, again, that's open to interpretation. But listen, you're talking an entire show, and I'll tell you what, if you call early next week, we can talk about this at greater length, but I want to get some more of these calls.
Okay.
All right?
I don't know. Well, I have a mixed bag of feelings about it, but, you know, I just wanted to ask you questions just to see what you would say.
Okay, well, that's what I said.
Put you a little bit, but
All right.
I just have to get, I had to get into your subconscious to find out what you'd say.
You're in there.
Little...
Now I got to get some Drano and get you out of there. Thanks.
Yeah, okay. Good
Thanks
man.
For calling. Have a good holiday.
Yeah, bye, Eric.
All right. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
Can I please speak to Andrew?
Yes. Look, you're going to have to hold on for a few minutes, okay? So I'm going to put you on hold over here. Thank you very much, and good evening.
Is Santa Claus going to come this year?
Is Santa Claus going to come this year? How am I supposed to know?
I don't know. You should know.
Well, okay. Is he going to come at all, or is he going to come to your house?
He's not going to come.
Well, I don't know. Have you been good, or have you been bad?
I've been good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't sound good.
I'm good.
All right. Well, then maybe he'll come. If he doesn't, call me next week and tell me.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Sure.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Dial tone. Good evening.
Do you know how to get the magic wand in Legend of Zelda?
No, I don't. Why? Is that what you're up to?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. No, I don't know that one. I'm sorry. If anyone knows, call up and let us know.
Okay.
Thank you. 1-800-966-4225 is our special number for this evening, and we are taking calls on that particular line. We're all the Connecticut people. You know, it's not going to cost you anything tonight. It's a special present from the phone company to us because they messed up so badly last week. That yes, office 3 is for you. No, you press down office 3, right? And then you pick up the phone. They can't hear me. Oh, I forget it. Just forget it. Just don't even. Oh, okay. Good evening.
Hi. Hi, what's going on tonight, man?
Everything is all disorganized tonight. But that's because, you know, everything is all disorganized.
Wow, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Tell me again.
Wow, man, you think we'll get any snow this year?
I sure hope so. You know, I am very upset by this weather. Very upset indeed. I mean, this is not Florida, you know? Somebody should tell nature that, you know, get her act together here.
Oh, you remember when it used to snow on Christmas?
I wasn't imagining that, was I? It used to snow a lot more than it ever did before. Or
it's
since, rather.
Stuff they're putting in the air. You ever think about that?
I think it's got a lot to do with that, actually.
Okay. Wow, man.
Well, listen, I'm going to read something about the weather, in fact.
Yeah.
You brought this up, so thanks for bringing this up.
All right.
Again, our number, 1-800-966-4225. Let's get a full switchboard, and we'll take a last flurry of calls, and we'll see what happens next. Yes, Mother Nature has played some tricks, sending the mercury rising in New York and plummeting in the West. Albany broke a temperature record today with temperatures hitting 60 degrees. Meteorologist Rich Kane says the previous record was 51 degrees set in 1967. Kane says it was the same strong weather system that sent mercury plummeting and was blamed for at least 16 deaths in the West that was responsible for the East's balmy weather. He says the front just pulled warm air over New York. In Montana, temperatures fell to 49 below zero in Wisdom, 45 below at Yellowstone, and 30 below across much of the rest of the state. But Kane warned that New York's spring-like temperatures will only last for about another day. In Buffalo, forecasters say there is a 75% chance that Buffalo will have a white Christmas. The Buffalo area today was blanketed by thick fog, which is supposed to last until tomorrow morning. And we have thick fog around here, too, in Stony Brook. If you're driving, be careful. For God's sake, be careful. And, you know, the whole campus is closed here. The whole university is closed until January 7th. This has never happened before. They've never shut down all the buildings and told everyone to get out. Except us. They haven't told us to get out because we're still here and we have to be here. And it's weird, though. You know, this is all to save money because the budget is in such bad shape. You've probably been hearing about it in the various newspapers that New York State is going broke and the university is going broke and everyone's going broke. Well, to save all this money, they decided to close off the university to all but vital essential services. And guess what? We're a vital essential service here at WUSB. And turn down the heat, turn off the lights, and save hundreds of millions of dollars, apparently. But, do you know what? When I was coming in here today, I couldn't help but notice that all of the lights in the university are still on. Every building seems to have lights on. And when I walked into the Union Building here, prepared to freeze, all of the radiators are spewing forth all this heat. And the temperature in the studio, let's see what the temperature is. It's 12 degrees outside. That's 54 in the Fahrenheit scale. Inside, it's 24 degrees, which is 75. Now, they promised us that the temperature was going to be down to 62. And they said the temperature in the building was going to be 52. So, I mean, somebody is not doing what they're supposed to do here. You got all the people out, but all the heat is still spewing forth. And you don't even need heat on a day like this. I mean, it was in the 60s today. Why is there even heat at all? Somebody explain this to me. Somebody explain to me why they're not turning things off, you know? I mean, all of this power is being used, and there's nobody here to use it. And I'd just like to know, what is the point? You know, what is the point of wasting energy when there's no one to waste energy on? We could save a lot of energy just by turning off those things that aren't needed. Just by... No, I'm only kidding, but that would be a good idea, too. No, we don't want to turn off the radio station, but it's something to consider, I guess, if you're into those kind of things. It's 12:02. I don't know where the hell Raz is, but when he shows up, we'll go to Raz. Meanwhile, we're taking phone calls, and I believe that number will still work until we tell them to stop. So call us at 1-800-966-4225. Tell us, don't know where he is, eh? Boy, let's hope he didn't get lost in the fog. I'm sure Raz will be here. Maybe you want to check the door. The door. The only door. There's only one door we can get into. Well, check it. Maybe it didn't open. Yeah, that's... Ah, okay. Well, we're going to have Raz in a couple of minutes. So give us a call, 1-800-966-4225, and we will take your call as one of the last on the airwaves. You can be the definitive voice of wisdom here. And speaking of definitive voices of wisdom, let's call up one right now and see what they have to say. This is going to be good. I don't kid around about things like this. Let's get those lines lit up, huh? We got three open lines. 1-800-966-4225.
For secular Armageddonism, a non-religious group dedicated to promoting public awareness of the coming end of the world. Our current focus is global militarism. As the Persian Gulf heats up, the planet plays host to yet another demonstration of the complete incompetence of our species. One more in a terrifying series of idiotic blunders. No surprise, of course, just business as usual. Since World War II, 150 wars have killed nearly 20 million people. Each year, the world spends $900 billion on the military, more than is spent on either health or education. In the 1980s, the U.S. alone spent the obscene amount of $2 trillion, with more than a quarter of U.S. federal taxes going to the military. 13 countries have now or are developing nuclear weapons, and 20 countries have now or are developing chemical weapons. It's obvious our obsession with the military isn't lessening, it's increasing. The destructive power of modern weaponry has changed everything, yet we blindly continue on, our obsolete attitudes propelling us rapidly toward the apocalypse. And now the Persian Gulf, where we face the prospect of thousands dying, chemical weapons use, and even more destabilized Middle East, and disaster in the world economy. Something wrong with this picture, maybe? If the crisis builds and we all watch as if it were some great apocalyptic spectator sport, well, it's the real world and a perfect example of military brinkmanship. And now is the time to act. If you believe this crisis should be solved through negotiation, through non-military, multinational, diplomatic means, then make yourself heard. Act now to cool down the Middle East. Act now to resist rampant militarism. There is a national coalition of groups opposed to escalating this war. For information on future actions in New York, call 212-254-2295. In Atlanta, 404-688-7422. In San Francisco, 415-821-6545. Support these groups, join them in their demonstrations, and do something to help delay our inexorable slide toward Armageddon. Doom, the society. Society for Secular Armageddonism holds two basic beliefs. Many global threats are rushing us toward the apocalypse, and emergency action is needed now to delay the inevitable. In short, it's totally hopeless. Don't give up. For information and membership, write DOOM, 2040 Polk Street, that's P-O-L-K Street, number 253, San Francisco 94109. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope and do something now to stave off our coming doom. Remember, it's only a few minutes to 12 on the doomsday clock. Do you know where your children are?
Okay, I think we get the point with the gongs. How many gongs are we going to have? 12? Oh, a beep. No, I don't want to leave a message or anything like that for now, but well said. Well said, indeed. That was the doom people, I guess.
To continue recording, press 5.
Oh, they have a voicemail system.
Finish by pressing pound.
Oh, let's...
Or press 0 to send your message and transfer your call.
Yeah, let's hack this system here. Okay.
To transfer to your own mailbox, press 1. Okay. To hear your options again, press 0.
Let's transfer to our own mailbox if we have one.
Please dial your password and press pound.
We want that the password is doom, okay? D-O-O-M. And press pound.
Please dial your mailbox number and press pound. Or press star to cancel and redial your password.
Well, let's see. Let's dial 123. And then pound.
Your password does not match your mailbox number.
Uh-oh.
Please dial your password and press pound.
I think we'll just stop this.
Or press star to cancel and redial your mailbox number.
Let's just hang up before we get in a lot of trouble. Okay, that's it there. 1-800-966-4225 until Raz comes in. It's 8 minutes after 12, and hopefully he'll be here any second now. And we have a lot of open lines. And someone's talking on one of the lines. I don't know why they are. They shouldn't do that. Call us up and speak on the radio. Good evening.
Hi, have you ever a band called Gua?
No, I haven't.
Could you ask Raz to play some?
I certainly will, but he should be in soon. And maybe you can ask him yourself.
All right.
All right?
It's Fresh or something, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to try to do that. Believe me, nobody wants that more than me right now.
All
right. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Yes. Are we all doomed? That's the question tonight, folks. And I'm certainly doomed if Raz doesn't show up soon, so let's hope he does. In the meantime, give me comfort and call up 1-800-966-4225. It's a pleasant number, isn't it? It has a nice ring to it. Any sign of him? No? No sign of him. Raz, where are you, Raz?
We don't know what's going on.
We don't know what's going on. Okay, well, anybody sees Raz out there, remind him that it's 12 o'clock on Saturday. It's time for him to get over here. Yes, there is a weather advisory out there for people driving around or walking around even. Locally, dense fog will remain in the area tonight into Sunday morning. In central and eastern Long Island, dense fog will be more widespread. The fog will be accompanied by periods of drizzle and possibly a shower. The roads may be slippery. Therefore, travelers are advised to use caution and allow themselves extra time to reach their destinations. And we'll see if there's any further statements on all of that. I can't believe how hot it is in here. Oh, why is it so hot with all the heat turned off? I don't understand it. Oh, I'm not going to complain anymore. Good evening.
Is Rick there?
Sorry?
Rick.
I don't know, but you'll have to call back later.
All right.
All right. Taking personal calls here. I don't believe this. Good evening.
Yeah, hi. I'm trying to get on the air.
Oh, you're on the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What do you got on your mind?
There I am.
Yes, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So now that you're on the air, what do you want to say? Hello?
Yeah.
Well, say something, because you're making a fool of yourself. You don't say anything.
You mean I'm on the air right now?
Yeah, you're on the air right now.
Well, this is very weird, because I'm hearing myself on delay, and this is very beat. So, yeah, what's going on tonight?
We're wondering where the next person is, but we're also talking about the impending doom and the fact that we're all headed straight for hell and that kind of thing. You know, cheerful stuff
headed
for the holidays.
For hell. Everybody's headed straight for hell.
Yeah, it seems that way. And, you know, more people are saying that in unison.
Mm.
It's sort of like, you know, we're getting together on all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess you're one of them, eh?
Well, yes, one of them what?
You're one of the people that believe we're all doomed.
Oh, yeah, well, not us, our grandchildren.
Oh, yeah. Our grandchildren? You think it's going to last that long, huh?
Well, I don't know, you know, I don't know. It's a mess. I've talked to you before and talked about the, you know, a lot of things involving just the world in general, and yes, it is one big mess, and I don't know if there's any way to change it, and we're just headed straight for hell, exactly what you said, yeah.
Yeah, but then again, we might be in hell already, and we don't know it.
Well, what are you trying to come up with tonight? Some solutions or what?
Oh, no. In fact, you may have noticed that. I usually, like, try to give answers and things like that, but tonight I'm not giving any answers. I'm just sort of complaining and trying to make things worse. Maybe next week we'll have answers.
Oh, really?
You know, if people don't get totally depressed by then.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just going to think about something we're doing in school, I think. Wait, who? I don't know. Hang on one second, okay?
Yes,
wait,
sure.
Wait, hold on. My friend wants to talk to you here.
Go ahead.
Yo, man, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Right now I'm sitting in front of a microphone talking into God knows whose ears.
Yeah. I heard some kid call up before and ask you if you ever heard of gore. I had a dream of what gore would be like.
Yeah?
But it was just chopped up bloody chunks, people just...
Well, the important question here is, was it in color?
It was just smashed into, like, a million pieces. It was crazy.
But was it in color?
I don't know. I really don't. I remember. It was a dream, you know.
Very few people have dreams in color. Do you know that? Most people have dreams in black and white, and nobody can figure out why.
I don't know what it was, though. It was just nuts. I just remember, like, people just being destroyed. It's crazy.
Well, there's nothing like a good dream, you know?
It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
guess what?
Someone looks remarkably like Raz is here, so I think we may be saved. But we'll take a couple more calls while he's getting ready.
Tell Raz to just smash people.
I'll tell. Well, he does that anyway, but I'll tell him just in case he forgets.
Tell him Kuza said to kill somebody right now.
Okay, I'll make sure he knows that. Thanks for calling. Oh boy, I don't know who's crazy. Are my listeners or Raz's listeners? Good evening.
Yeah, did Raz ever hear of saliva?
How am I supposed to know? Am I Raz's head?
I don't know. Ask him. Is he there?
Well, he's in the other room, and he's you know, smashing people right now.
Well, if he did, tell him to play some of it.
I'm going to pass along all these messages. Don't worry.
All right. Thanks
for calling. All right. Good evening.
Hi, Eric.
Hi. How are you?
Good. But with this dreaming in color bit?
Yeah.
What I read is that most people do dream in color.
Yeah.
But as they wake up, like, the color fades away, so then they think it's black and white. But originally, when they were dreaming, it was color.
But how do you know?
I don't know, but I read it.
Well, it could be true. And you could dream in Dolby, too, for all you know. But there's no way to prove it.
No, but that's just...
You can't tune in on your dreams, you know? Despite the way they do it on all those TV shows.
Fine, I'm trying to shed some light on this. All
yeah.
Right.
Well, no, you did shed some light on it. But, all right, well, thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
This is Christina. Sir.
Christina again. I didn't hear you say you were Christina.
And yeah, Raz should play some gore.
Okay, I think he's going to. I don't think he has a choice anymore.
Yeah, because I said so.
Thanks for calling and pleasant dreams.
Same to you.
Okay. Good evening.
Bill.
What?
Bill.
Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah? Hi.
Hi.
What can I do for you?
I was hoping to get on the air.
Well, you're on the air now.
Am I?
Yeah. What do you want to say?
Nothing much.
Ah. Well, you did it. Thanks for calling. Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, what are you doing?
I'm taking calls. Boy, you know, there's a certain point where you can tell the brain damaged listeners stop listening and the Raz listeners come in, and this is a different way of expressing yourself. It's all beautiful. I mean, I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. It's just interesting. It's something to marvel at. Good evening.
Yeah, hi. I want to get in the air.
You're on the air now.
Right now?
Right now, at this very moment. What do you want to say?
I don't know. I want to talk about somebody just called about a dream and being chopped to pieces.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to know that they're really dumb.
Well, I don't think you should call dreams dumb. I mean, you know, stupid maybe, but not dumb. You know what I mean?
I'm not dumb, but...
Stupid.
Yeah, stupid, yeah. But I don't know.
Not dumb. Because, you know, could be taken the wrong way.
Yeah, but if they're not real, it makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, life is but a dream. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. And thanks for calling. Good evening.
Yeah, hi. Was that kid that just called Jason Panamount? Because it sounds like...
I don't know. I was supposed to know. We have caller ID. Can we recognize these people? I don't know who it was. I mean, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't.
Well, wait, if it is Jason Tannenbaum, Jason, if you're listening, call back the brain damage and identify yourself over the air.
We're not a switchboard here. Now, come on. All right, we're going to take one call more, maybe two. Good evening.
This is 90.1.
90.1 on your FM dial.
Can I talk to that guy on the radio?
Yes. Go ahead.
Well,
this is he.
I got to talk about this thing in the Middle East.
Okay, talk about the thing in the Middle East.
This is driving me crazy.
Driving you crazy?
Yeah.
Why?
I think we're just going in on the hell out of
it. Are you of draft age, sir?
Well, no, not exactly.
You're below draft age?
Below draft age, 15 going on 16.
But you're going to be draft age real soon.
Yeah.
Are you prepared to go and fight and serve your country?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can fulfill that responsibility.
Uh-huh.
So, I've just been thinking about some bothering me.
Uh-huh. Do you feel better now?
I feel a little bit better. I can talk to somebody about it.
Okay. Well, as long as you feel better, that's what we're here for.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
No problem.
All right. Raz is almost ready, I think.
I'm ready.
He's ready. Okay, then we're out of here. Okay, so we're going to leave and come back next week, and let's see. We're going to stop taking calls on that 800 number, so call the regular number now at 632-6901. Everybody else, goodbye. And it's gone. It's history. It's been erased. Oh, wait. No, it doesn't work anymore. There we go. Okay. All right. That's all. Our mission here is done. Have a pleasant holiday season, everybody.
Holly jolly.
Holly jolly, all that kind of thing. And stay warm. I don't think that's going to be much of a problem for us. And Sarah Corley for Brain Damage. See you again next week.
Hi, this is Greg Lake on WUSB Stony Brook, wishing you a brave new year.
Well, I don't know what concert billboard is. Do you see it? It's supposed to play the Saturday concert billboard.
Yo,
Saturday's
DJ,
the only day that's not
everybody's
there.
Everybody's doing a Christmas thing.
Yeah,
and
so.
Concertland is dead as a doornail.
So they play
starting Saturday concert billboard every day.
Yeah, but all the days are there except Saturday. So, I mean, I think that's Matt's way of...
Today's Sunday, though, isn't it?
Yeah, today's Sunday, but if you read the sign, it says play Saturdays because it's the same for every day.
Maybe it got right.
But that's Sunday.
So?
It's going to be wrong. All right, we're going to try it. We're going to try it, but it's going to be wrong. No, it's going to be blank. Okay.
Yeah,
there's nothing on here.
Better.
Power surge intro. Yeah, I think we'll play that instead.
Ready.
A position of ascendancy over others. Surge, to rise and fall actively. Power, physical might, mental or moral vigor. Surge, a sweeping onward like a wave of the sea or a motion. Power, force or energy used to do work. The time rate at which work is done. Surge. A transient, sudden increase of current in an electrical surface. Power surge.
Caution. This album may be considered offensive.
Undefined.